Tom, do you have something you want to share with group?
I want to bang John Ossoff.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
I do. I really do want to bang John Ossoff. But anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom. I am your host, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, well, some of them. Starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And.
Hola. Jay Bear.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
I like it. You did say last time that you were just going to call yourself Jay Bear. Although we still call you Jay and we love you. And Jay is in studio sitting with us, of course. He's going to be joining us for the rest of the episode. We were supposed to have a guest today, but that didn't materialize, and so we will have to wait until next week or the week after that, or who knows.
We'll see.
But nonetheless, we have an amazing dish for you, and forgive me, but I put a mat under my chair that allows my chair to slide freely, and now all of a sudden it's just like sliding on its own. Like I move over and it comes back.
Reminds you of your nights with the lube?
Right, yes.
just slipping across the floor for no reason?
There I go.
Falling off furniture?
No. Oh my God, have you ever seen Van Wilder?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's all I can think of right now. Okay.
is that why we're talking about this?
Most likely.
Van Wilder, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me about him. What about him?
It's a movie.
I've never seen it.
Wait, it wasn't him.
It's part of the National Lampoon's series.
They were using like massage oils and like getting all ready, and he went and ran at this person and slipped right off her and out the window, and it was a mess.
Well, Van Wilder, aka my man crush.
He is hot.
Ryan Reynolds.
That's okay.
Oh my God.
He's a good-looking guy.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then
I'm going to have to watch it. Anything that allows me to slip off of something with lube on is good.
Out the window.
Yep.
So I will warn you, I've had a couple of these. So I'd never had an Angry Orchard before. And I'm having some right now, and this is like my fourth one. So there's going to be a lot of cursive in this episode.
Probably, yeah.
So we have stories. We have, you know, we're going to jump into what we've been doing for the past week. But nonetheless, there's going to be cursive. So I'm just warning you all straight off the bat. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So why don't we toss it over to, let's start with Jay. You're a guest, our guest host today. So how are you, my dear?
I am fantastic. Look.
Oh, my God.
You didn't have to direct me to...
finally learned how to suck. Yes.
Yeah, get close enough.
Get close, baby.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good weekend. Great weather. Could have done some gardening. I did a little yard work and just chilled. We had some dinner, went out to dinner on Friday night, and I had these amazing, what were they, sweet tea martinis made out of Jameson.
So you love tea. I know that you're a tea person. Like you had all these like different like crazy.
But JMO.
JMO in a tea. Explain that to me.
Well, I can't recall that, but it's like a...
I wonder why.
I wonder why. Had like four of those with dinner. But it's Jameson, and I believe it's a sweet and sour mix. And
okay.
Yeah, but they were fantastic. And of course, Kim...
Where was this?
La Scogliera in Shelton, Italian restaurant.
I'm not even going to try to say it.
Scogliera.
La Scogliera?
Scogliera, yeah.
Is it Italian?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm surprised you can't say it.
That sounds Spanish.
I'm probably pronouncing it Spanish, but...
La Scogliera?
You got to remember you're talking to a Puerto Rican accent, right? So...
Yeah. So we make everything into a Spanish word.
Well, yeah. I mean, Italian and Spanish, they're not far off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Gustav and like spraying Windex on everything. And at the core of every word, it has a Greek origin. You remember that from my big fat Greek wedding? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep. You say a word and I will find the origin of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Apple. Apple. It comes from... No, I don't really know the line, but like... He broke it into two parts. Seriously? And said...
Yeah. I almost thought he was really going to like just go with the flow and do the whole thing. That's awesome.
No, so, I've known them for ages.
So you had tea time with the wife.
Yeah, so we had dinner. We had some great martinis and a couple of good drinks and, you know, went back home and chilled. You know, it was a nice, relaxed weekend. All the kids were out. So it was just us. So we got some time to just... chill.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's always nice. Good.
Yeah,
and so if you don't know, Jay Bear is married, and his wife Rosa is just an amazing human being. She is. So
she puts up with me. She has to be. Yeah,
she has to be, seriously. So if you could package all of the Care Bears in one box, that would be Rosa. She's awesome.
Thank you.
And
she'd appreciate that.
No, I know. I love her. The only thing is, don't get her drunk and be next to her. She bites you when she's drunk.
Yeah.
Arr, she's bitten the shit out of me.
Yeah. I thought Tommy was going to smack her that day, to be honest.
Seriously, like, she bit the shit out of me.
She went full on Rottweiler on him for a minute.
I was like, oh my God. So, Nick, how are you, my darling?
I'm good. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm trying to find something.
He's researching. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So,
but no, so we had dinner there. And then I met up with my friend Jose Saturday for dinner as well.
Which one?
Campos.
So, little Jose.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other. Well over a year.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's somebody at my door. I'm trying to figure out who it is. It's probably the mailman, but it said it didn't recognize the person. Yep, mailman. New one.
New mailman.
New one. It's a new one.
Oh, boy. Ooh. That's why they're here so late.
He's cute.
So I met up with him for dinner, and we ended up there as well at the same restaurant. I enjoy their food. A lot of the stuff is homemade. And you know, they serve like that one giant meatball stuff with ricotta and mozzarella. And
Steve tries, but he can't get there. Yeah. I mean, his meatballs are medium size. He said massive. Meatball.
They're huge.
Although his meatballs
and a lot of the dishes they do there are just so damn good. So damn good.
Well, I mean, when you go to a restaurant and a lot of them are homemade, they typically tend to be like really good, like homemade recipes. It's not something that's been Americanized and therefore it's not like a specific like ingredient, or you follow a recipe and everything is always the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they're from Calabria. So they, one of the nephews, I believe it is, or cousins, imports their oils and their wine, their house wine.
Right.
So they get stuff imported for the restaurant all the time. So,
well, girl, the next time you go here, let this girl know, because this fat girl wants to eat.
Yeah, they're good.
I love to eat. Are you ready, girl?
Not quite, but I mean, I can talk about my weekend.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just interested in how your past few days have been, specifically today, if you want to talk about today, because it's a big milestone. I think it's wonderful.
Yep.
I got my first COVID shot today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
One of the first questions I had for her was like, can you drink on the COVID shot?
I was like, I looked at all the paperwork. It literally did not say anything about alcohol.
It just simply said drink liquids.
Nope. But it did say drink a lot of water, which I did today. But I am now drinking coffee because I'm so tired from it and an angry orchard.
Which shot did you get?
Pfizer.
The Pfizer.
Okay. Yeah. So my next appointment is April 12th.
Two days before my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it was like literally like a line of cars, and it took me about 20 minutes to get through the line. And then I had to wait 15 minutes and drove off, and I was fine when I got here. And then all of a sudden we were sitting outside, and I was like, all of a sudden I was like, I'm tired.
I was like, girl, would you like me to make you some coffee? She was like, yes.
100%.
And so I did. I made her some coffee.
So when I got my first shot, the beginning of the month, that was the same thing. I felt a little tired, but then again, I had been up like at 6 a.m. that day. I'm not a morning person. So I chucked that up to, I got up too early. Mm-hmm. that night, my arm, the muscles were like being, sitting still, you know, just doing regular stuff was no issue. Laying on it was when I started feeling pain. But then it felt like I got hit by a baseball bat.
So the arm. You know, the weird thing is, so when I see them stick that needle in the arms, has it occurred to anybody that you think that needle is a little way too long? Like it's going to hit bone?
Like it is a little long. Yeah.
Like I always think it's going to hit bone and they just go all the way in. And I'm like, what happens when you have somebody that has like no fucking meat? Like I have meat.
Well, I have meat, so I'm fine.
Well, that's the other thing. They're saying, they're saying you shouldn't inject it directly to muscle because it gives you more pain.
Right.
And most,
I mean, is
most
that the case when you're doing like anal sex? Don't inject it directly into the muscle.
Oh my God.
But I wouldn't know about that. No, no, but
well, trip.
Yeah. So my shot, when she gave it to me, it sat high. This chick was like a ninja in and out. And I was like, all right, you ready? She's like, I'm done. She was already throwing the needle.
Sounds like an evening at the Dick Dock.
Probably. I don't know.
In and out.
In and out. But yeah, I didn't feel the needle at all that night. Yeah, the pain was definitely noticeable. And my arm hurt for about 3 days.
So I've never gotten a flu shot before. Me. But I am definitely going to get the COVID shot because I want to make sure that, you know, my mother got her first one, thank God. And we're waiting on the second one. But I want to make sure that I get it because I want to protect her. Not necessarily about me, because I don't care about me. I mean, like, you know, just I don't. But I want to do it for her. And so I don't know what the experience is of getting a shot and having it be painful or going through some of the reactions that a lot of people are saying. So one of the things that they make you do is once you get your shot, you have to wait at least 15 minutes before you can leave just to make sure you don't get an adverse reaction to the shot. So that's
mostly for people like for me. I'm allergic. We're allergic to shellfish. Mm-hmm. So they ask you these questions as well. So they do, you know, they want to make sure that you don't have a reaction as you would with, for example, my grandson's the twins, they're both allergic to eggs.
Right.
But if you make a cake which contains eggs, they can eat it.
Because so it's cooked?
I'm assuming because I've given them cake without realizing.
Oh, she's nasty. She's trying to kill them.
No.
I have to say though, like at Pfizer, because I went to the Pfizer Groton facility and like I felt so comfortable. Yeah. There was EMS on site. I literally, if anything were to go wrong, like I would have felt
you were okay.
Yeah. Like super safe.
Yeah. And the person administering the shots where I went in Greenwich are nurses. Mm-hmm. So they're trained and they tell you, you know, just have a seat. 15 minutes, but they tell you, you can have an adverse reaction within 15 minutes or within 4 hours.
Right.
So
it's been 4 hours. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little tired.
But mainly if you were to have a real bad reaction, it would happen within that 15 minute window. Mm-hmm. Right. Anything else after that will be a more milder, I guess I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Would probably be a milder reaction, so you're not gonna sit there for 4 hours.
It's always great to assume amongst a group of gay men.
You know how it is. It's always an assumption.
You make an ass out of you and me, and then if you make an ass, then we plow it.
So I want to go back. I'm sorry, but I have to do this. But I want to go back to my big fat Greek wedding.
Let's go.
Okay.
All right. Let's go So I'm going to quote it now. Give me a word, any word, and I show you. So you is how they say it. Yeah. I show you how that root of that word is Greek.
Is this what you were researching?
Yes, 100%. Of course. Under her breath. Oh, not this again. Okay. How about arachnophobia?
Oh my God.
Arachna. That comes from the Greek word for spider. And phobia is a phobia. It means fear. So fear of spider. There you go. Okay, Mr. Portocullis. How about the word kimono? That's a good one. Kimono. 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 Of course. Kimono is come from the Greek word hemona. it means winter. So what do you do where in wintertime to stay warm? A robe. You see? Robe, kimono. There you go. Like, I fucking love that movie. Any word that they would give him, he'd be like, I'll find the root. It comes from Greek.
Did you watch the second one?
Yeah.
The second one, I loved it. It was cute.
It was good.
It wasn't as good as the first one, but I loved it nonetheless because it just shows you, you know, like it gives you a different window into the family after the fact. Mm-hmm. And the fact that now they have a daughter that's like freaking like high school age. And, you know, poor girl is still going through it. And Nana was still there. Mm-hmm. That was always awesome. No,
but I had a bump in my neck. It was my twin.
And it had teeth.
Yes.
Opa!
Oh my god.
I love it. I love it.
A bundt cake.
A bundt.
Oh, they brought us a bundt cake.
Bundt.
And they put a fucking plant in the middle of it.
Right.
I fixed it.
Oh my god.
This is what happens when you know you two. All right, well, let's
wait, I didn't even talk about my weekend though.
Yes,
so how are you?
I mean, we spent Friday night together.
We did.
Tom left the house.
I did. I actually did. Nice. For the first time in over, like, you know, like a century. I feel like Lestat, the vampire from, like, Interview with a Vampire. Like, you know, he was, like, in that one little house, like, hiding away. And the guy that was coming to interview him was, like, sort of kind of like the first encounter he had in centuries. That's what I felt like.
But it was really nice. I mean,
it was
a very small gathering of bartenders that we used to work with. And I kind of initiated the whole thing. I was like, we always do something for St. Patty's Day, but we can't this year. Why don't the bartenders get together? And we, you know, had some food and we had a couple drinks and we all hung out socially distanced.
Compliments of one of the Steves, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Fucking course. But
his meatballs were delicious.
We know.
Not as big, but they were delicious.
Anyway,
it was really nice
to like get together and like socially distance, have a couple cocktails and like, you know, hang out and like see you out of the house.
Chris just replied, I was in class, so no, clearly I'm not going to be at the show today.
It's okay.
Super late. It's 6:22, bitch. I text you at 3:00. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I love you.
Chris.
And it was fun. So, you know, we had our tables and we were all separated. As much as we could, right? Because then when we start talking about something juicy and fine, it's like we're all congregating and we're like, bitch, get away, COVID. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no, we went and we met with our boss. It was like a little meeting. So our boss is in the process of turning over an older restaurant into something different and new. And so we were talking about the logistics of, okay, what is it going to look like when we, one, open the bar back up?
Mm-hmm.
And also start venturing into this new thing in the restaurant space, right? Which is something that I've never done. Mm-hmm. Do I see myself doing something like that? Probably not. But, you know, it's just after COVID, you really start reevaluating, okay, what am I going to do? What do I need? Right? What can I do without? And so things are uncertain. We don't know who's going to come back, who's going to be there, what it's going to look like. And it's obviously going to take some adjustment. You know, for example, you know, once you start gathering with people, how do you feel? Right. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing people that you were used to hugging and being very kiki with, like, do you get to that point where you're comfortable again having PDAs with people that you were used to seeing all the time at work? Or do you still sort of kind of like, even after COVID shot, whatnot, stay standoffish? Like, what do you do?
Well, I mean, I feel like we're all going to have to wear masks for a while.
Right.
And I also feel like there are certain people in your circle that you can maybe be more physical with.
Right.
But for example, when we used to work at the bar, people would come in and we would walk out from the bar and give them a kiss on the cheek or a hug or whatever. Right. That's not going to be a thing.
I've stopped doing that since like December of 2019 when they started talking about that bullshit.
No, and I know. And I think that that is still going to be a thing until everybody is vaccinated, until it's under control. I mean, like personally, I'll be vaccinated hopefully and completely
immunized.
2 weeks after, right?
Well, so, 29 days after the second one is typically when you're considered fully immunized.
So Pfizer says 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't trust Pfizer.
AstraZeneca. I'm literally getting their vaccine, so I have to. Yeah. But like I will be way more comfortable hugging people and like doing all of that. But at the same time, it's going to be weird. You know, we're in our second year now, technically, of literally elbow butting people. Like, hi, right. Tom.
Boom.
How are you?
Right.
Like, it's weird.
Well, I remember that.
I see people that I haven't seen in a while. To this day, I'm like, I don't hug elbow. Like my mom.
I cannot wait until she is considered fully immunized because I want to hug my mother. I haven't hugged my mother since March of last year.
And how does she feel about it?
Well, when we're in the same space, are you kidding me?
I know she loves you.
You know better. No, we're in the same
space.
She's
like hugging you and putting her hand in your back pocket and taking a credit card. You don't even realize it.
Right. And she's like, I need this. No, but for me, it's like, you know, when I walk into my mom's house or when my mom walked into my house, one of the first things we did was just give her a kiss and hug her. And I would smell her because my mother's scent is just so unique.
Yeah.
Right. And
like
and
pork chops and rice.
Yeah. Well, that's what she cooks, bitch.
I'm sorry.
Slippery slope.
I'm sorry.
We're getting there. No, but so I would hug her and I would like smell because she has a very unique scent, you know, and it's mom. And I haven't been able to do that in a year and I can't wait to do it.
Yeah.
I really can't wait. And so she's scheduled to have her second appointment or vaccine in 2 weeks. And when she does that, you know, and once I've waited a couple of days, I'm going to hug the shit out of that woman. I probably will take the breath out of her. And you know this. I mean, your mom right now.
Still in the nursing home.
It's in a nursing home, yeah. And you go visit her. How hard is it to want to like hug her and you can't?
Well, and especially with mom, because of course, with her having the dementia, she forgets things a lot of the time. So there's times that we'll walk in and she'll pull her mask down and blow kisses at us. And you hear the nurses in the background, Christina, put your mask on. And my mom in Spanish, ah, vete pa allá. Like she fought, yeah, off the back, ripping off on them. And they're like, oh, Christina. You know, like they know she's telling them off, but they don't know exactly what she's saying.
So, which is always the case. I love that.
But yeah, it's tough. And I was scheduled to go see her Wednesday and they just called me today to cancel it because a patient came out positive for COVID.
Oh.
So even though the patient's not on her floor, not on her wing, they automatically locked down the whole process. So,
and it's heartbreaking, right? Because these are our parents.
It sucks.
You know, these are people that you love, that you have grown up every single day of your life wanting to just be around and there's nothing better than your parents cooking, right? It's like grandparents and parents can cook the shit out of everything.
Yep.
And getting together, and it's just so weird. It's been a very weird year and a half, going into a year and a half now. And I'm just ready to engage physically again. Like, I think I'm ready.
Uh-huh.
In all aspects,
uh-huh.
Including being on my knees and all. Yes, John. which is why we started with that opener.
Yep.
All right. So listen.
So I do have one more thing I want to share about my weekend. So I did something this weekend.
Did you know?
Yeah. I went out to dinner.
Oh, well, and coming from Trish, this is big. This is huge.
Yeah. So I went out to dinner with four other people. And I'm telling you, we were surrounded by plexiglass. It was so weird, but kind of cool. But at the same time, like, it was so amazing to be somewhere and order a fucking steak. Like, it was so... my point is, I've been saving money.
And you went to Shell and Bones. I'm so mad at you.
And we went to Shell and Bones. bones. And now I realize why I was so fucking poor before the pandemic, because that bill came and I was like,
holy shit.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
One steak is like,
not that it wasn't
bucks.
Worth it. It was totally worth it. And of course I was going to get steak, cause I haven't been out to a restaurant in forever, but the bill came and I was like, here's all the cash in my wallet. Here's my life. And then now everywhere is still closing at 11. We were planning on going to grab a cocktail at one other place, but we were there for so long. So we called our waiter over after we closed the tab. And we were like, can we just get one more round? It was like 10:30. And he was like, actually, no, the bar shuts down at 10:25 now. Everyone has to be out by 11. And I looked at him. I opened up the fucking checkbook and I took a 50 right out of the fucking tip. And I looked at him. I was like, sorry. And then everyone started laughing. I put it right back. But like,
okay.
But like, come on. I was like, come on. There's $120 in there as a tip for you. Like,
I would be like, throw us a bone.
Yeah,
it's hard. You know, it's hard in the time of COVID to sort of kind of circumvent the rules, right? Because we're bartenders. We know, right? Yep. So we know when someone's like, hey, you know, can I hang around? Blah, 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 blah. And we're like, no, you can't. You got to go. But secretly, it's like, go hang out in the pool table and don't show your face until everyone's at the bar. And then everything's fine. Mm-hmm. And so we expect that we can operate under those same, rules. And it's all different. Yeah. It's just all different. Yeah. It's
crazy. For instance, you know, the restaurant I go to, you know, again, I've known them for years. Now, my cousin is married into the family. So,
oh, it's one of those situations.
Yeah. So then now it falls into, you know, the daughters come in and work on the weekends when they're not at their mm-hmm. regular job. So you go to have dinner and you run into them. First thing you want to do is hug them, kiss them. You know, it's just normal. So, and they kind of always got to remind people, no, I really can't, you know, and
right.
So what happened on, I think it was on Friday when I went with the missus, and I told, I was talking to one of the girls and I was like, just take that damn mask off and give me a hug and a kiss. And she's like, I can't. We did once and someone called the health department mm-hmm. and filed a complaint.
Yep.
It's crazy.
So
that's crazy.
So not so much that, you know, sometimes you could be a little lenient with people that you're close to, in public, not so much because,
I mean,
you and I, we know each other. We could go up to each other and hug. We know where we're at and where we're, you know, but
even
strangers
then,
looking in don't know our history and how, so all they see is people breaking, you know, rules.
Right.
Yeah. So, and yeah, tough.
But a lot of the reason why people are so hesitant and not as easy to sort of kind of relax is because there's a lot at stake, right?
Yes.
People's jobs are at stake. You know, if the state comes in and finds out that you're not following protocol, they shut you down, you no longer have a job. Yep. And in the time of COVID, we know how important it is to have a job, or how important it is to be able to say that, you know, I've remained employed throughout this pandemic.
Shut my mic off.
And so, you know, we try our best to accommodate those that we love and people that we've seen on our everyday adventures, but we also have to be cognizant that, you know, our lives are on the line. Mm-hmm. You know, people's lives are on the line. And so be respectful if you're still going out and we're still in this in-between stage. If you have access and you can and make an appointment, get your damn shot.
Yeah,
really seriously do it, because it's just going to allow us to get to where we need to get to a lot faster mm-hmm. and to be able to enjoy each other. And mm-hmm. perhaps maybe by July 4th, we will be able to have small gatherings that are mask free, or that, you know, you don't have to feel like you're being suffocated when it comes to sharing space with other people in your company.
I'll tell you one thing, like when I got the shot today, there was
Did you cry?
I did not cry, no.
I'm but like shocked.
Why would I cry?
Because hello, you're an emotional like bag.
Yeah, no, you're not like, wrong.
All the time.
But like there was this feeling of like the light at the end of the tunnel almost. Right. Like,
which is why I expected that you would cry.
Give me my fairy dust. Yes.
Oh, wait.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, no, it just felt it felt right. I was like, oh wow. But I also like, I feel privileged because like I have an in at Pfizer, right? So like,
but it's also one of the, it's not necessarily that you have an in, it's a benefit of someone that works at Pfizer saying, hey, you live with someone who still hasn't been immunized. It is to our advantage.
100%, and that's why I'm allowed to get it.
So,
right.
So it's not that you have like an in,
but
it's
that's just, privilege.
Well, not necessarily. That's just Pfizer being cognizant of the fact that their employees also need to make sure that not only they are immunized, but those that live with them, right? And
yeah.
So it is an effort to make sure that they stay healthy, mm-hmm. so that they can continue to provide these vaccines that are critical for the masses. Mm-hmm. So no, I wouldn't call that privilege. I would just call that Pfizer being
a company thinking about not only its employees but also people that
the extended
family, right, yeah. friends, and
that's just them being diligent.
Mm-hmm. That's a company you want to work for,
which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy for you, really, because I know how paranoid you were at the beginning.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
You know, like I remember
my hands are still recovering.
Right. So I remember the last day that we worked at the bar, and this woman came up and ordered a drink, and Nick served the drink, and she went and dug in her boobs to get the money, and he was like, no, you can have the drink, girl, we're not doing this.
Mm-mm, not touching
not touching that money,
sorry Dave. This might be the last day you're open for a while, but I'm not taking her money.
During our little get together when we were discussing strategy or blah whatnot, I brought up that story, and Dave was just like, what
you didn't charge her.
I was like, I wasn't touching it. And then he went on to say, like, you were psycho that night. I'm like, I told you I didn't want to work. I told you it directly I didn't want to work. And then I was in bed for a week following that night.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But overall, you know what? It's sad to say that we've had over, 500,000 people pass.
Yeah.
We're still here, and I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that you're still here. I'm grateful for all the people in my life that are still here. But, we also have to think about the fact that a lot of people didn't make it.
And also, on a brighter note, they're blah. But I was talking to the guy that was checking me in at Pfizer today, and I was like, so how many shots do you think you guys are gonna, give out? And he's right. Like, we're hoping to give out between 10,000 to 25,000.
Today.
In Connecticut alone.
Just today.
No. No, it started today.
Right.
So I don't know how many people got it today, but I mean, that is massive.
Yeah. Right.
That is amazing. And it's free.
Yeah. And, think about how.
No insurance, yeah, nothing.
Think about how this pandemic is going to change the way we do business.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Because going forward, will you still accept boob cash?
No. No.
I'm just thinking out loud. Right. People are gonna come in and what signs are you? No titty cash, please. Please have provide us with non booby cash. Because I mean, granted, that it's easy for women to store stuff in their bras, but you're still sweating.
Yeah. Well, Tom brought up a really amazing point this weekend. Actually, I know we haven't gotten gay yet, but. We were at the bar and we were talking about that same story, and then somebody had said that there are places that aren't accepting cash, and yes. Tom literally said that's illegal, which it is.
It is
illegal.
Right.
So how now do we move forward accepting cash, right?
Because we have no choice. We have to.
We have to.
Gloves.
Gloves. But right. I always carry cash on me. I just wash my hands a lot, and right. I also use sanitizer, and I wear my mask.
For me to have cash on me, it's rare.
Do you have a dollar bill on you or something?
I have, but not a dollar. I have 20s. Well,
can you show me a $20 bill?
And I will tell you a very quick story before we go to break. And the reason why I brought this up is back in 2009 or something, it was when the iPhone 4 came out. AT&T had the exclusive rights to sell iPhone 4. Do you have a bill on you or something? Because I need to read the exact verbiage.
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. I will pull up a dollar bill or something. Can somebody pull up an image of a dollar bill? Yes. Thank you. So what ended up happening was I went to AT&T and I had cash. And so the person at the counter says, I'm sorry, we can't accept cash. It's credit card only. It can't even be a debit card or whatever. And I wasn't, you know, well off at that time, but I still wanted my fucking iPhone fucking 4. And so the guy says, no, I can't accept cash. And I'm like, you can't do this. Thank you. Hold that right there. So I said, wait, what do you mean? So I went and I searched the internet on my iPhone 3 that I had, and I found a phone number to the corporate office, and I called and I got in contact with this person called Crystal. And she was the executive assistant at the time to Randall Stephenson, which was the CEO of AT&T.
Oh, that's when I said, yes, Tom is my partner. He can do whatever he wants.
Right. And at the time, my phone was under Jay's name. And so he had to give permission for me to speak with this Crystal person. And she was going up and down telling me that they couldn't accept cash. That was the deal they made with AT&T at the time, which was the exclusive carrier in the U.S. for iPhone 4. And I'm like, you're wrong. And it's illegal. And you can't do that. And I'm going to tell you why. And I said to her, I said, can you pull out? Do you have your purse with you? And she goes, yeah, I'm sitting at my desk. I have my purse with me. I'm like, go in your purse and pull out a dollar bill. Any denomination, doesn't matter. One, five, 20, whatever you have. And she pulls it out and she goes, okay, what am I looking for? I said, right on the dollar bill, there is a little disclaimer, a little note on the dollar bill that says, this note is legal tender for all debt, public and private. It is the national currency of the United States of America, and it is illegal for you to say that you will not accept currency. And she looked at it and she goes, I'll call you right back. Hangs up with me, within 5 minutes, call back and says, please go to the store and pick up your iPhone. It'll be there and it'll be available and you can pay cash. In the US of A, that is our national currency. That is imprinted on every single bill that we print for a reason. They cannot deny the fact that you want to pay with our national currency. So just keep that in mind.
Unless you're gay.
Unless you're gay. It's legal. So that was my story. That's how I ended up getting my iPhone at the time. But what I wanted to highlight was just that one little note on imprinted on every dollar bill. The note is legal for all debt, public and private. Never forget that. So if you ever walk into a place that says we cannot accept cash, you can literally say that is illegal and they must. They cannot deny you that. So just
you're saying. Not wrong. Also, I still don't get why any business would not want to accept cash, but that's beside the point.
Right, because you know you can do the slippery slip.
Booby cash.
Booby cash, except for now.
I'm gonna dip that in sanitizer now. After my second vaccine, I'm gonna dip it then I'm gonna dry it out.
So here's the thing, right? So here's now
you know what I find funny? What if you walked up somewhere and just said, "Hold on, let me get my cash on, dig in your balls and down your pants and pulled out it."
See, I would accept that shit. So you know that now they're making these sanitizers for your phone where you put the phone in the device and close it while you're washing your hands and your phone is sanitized? Why can't So there's these new things. And
it's a UV light.
It's a UV light and you can keep it in your bathroom and you just put your phone in it and close it. And while you wash your hands, it's sanitizing your phone. So why can't you do something like that for money? Right. Somebody hands you money. You put the money in this little UV light.
Yeah.
It gets sanitized. And then you continue to do your tender. I mean, it might take a little bit longer. But if the thing is to be precautious, then, you know, there's ways. There are ways to ensure people's safety. It might cost a little bit of money. But in the end, you know, it might allow us to get to some sort of normalcy.
That was a new word, by the way. Precautious.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
All right. Well, listen, speaking of words and all that good stuff, I believe that we need to seriously go to break because we've been on for about 34 minutes talking about absolutely nothing, but it's something.
But a lot of things.
Right. And we do still have stories. Yes. Promise you that we are going to talk about.
And they are gay related.
Right?
One I would like to probably touch on would be dad praised by LGBT community after building a bi chair.
Oh.
Are you gay?
By the way.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't had sex in so long that
my God.
I need my second Pfizer vaccine and then I'm going to go crazy.
All right. Well, we'll leave you with some music. When we come back, we have Dish. Thank you.
She was waiting by the back door. Said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming. Well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey. And don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place. But they're coming just the same. Knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming. Well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey. And don't forget your history. It was never their land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey. And don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place. Station where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same.
Right, ladies and gents, welcome back from the break. That, of course, was Wastelands by Amanda Barrick. That song and her entire album is available on all the major music streaming services. You can access them by just going to them and downloading her album. It is amazing. She is incredible. So that being said, we are back from our break, and we've got stories. We've got stuff that we need to talk about, right? Make it all worthwhile. So I'm going to kick it off. Actually, you know what? I'm going to let Nick kick it off.
Oh, my God. Why?
Because you had your COVID shot today. So before you lose your power.
Fall asleep.
Right. So I'm going to let you talk, and then I can just, you know, do the rest.
All right. So in honor of Chris.
Chris?
Yeah.
Like our Chris?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we would talk about Canada.
Meanwhile.
In Canada.
Thank you. Go for it.
Canada is one of the most LGBT friendly destinations. And now as COVID is starting to, you know, peel back, everybody's starting to think about vacations, thinking right. about going on a cruise, thinking about flying somewhere. Canada is ranked number one as an LGBTQ destination.
I'm not surprised though. I mean, when you think about the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, mm-hmm. and you think about all of the things that we've had happen here in the U.S. and how they've reacted to that. Like, for example, when the previous administration, see, I'm doing a good job at not saying that man's name.
Who?
You know that person. Thou who shall not be named. So when the previous administration started off right off the bat with the trans military ban, Canada was one of the first countries that came up and stepped up and said, no, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that, right? And so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I think, and it's right in our backyard. So a quick 12-hour drive and we're there. So I think that at some point, and maybe we'll punish Chris for not coming. And we'll go and record an episode from Canada, and then we'll just say, Chris, you can stay home. He would kill us.
Yeah, no.
He wouldn't even let that happen.
That's not fair.
He wouldn't even let that happen. That's not even an option. You know that, right? I say that out of love and jokingly, obviously. But yeah, he wouldn't allow it.
So Canada topped the index for with a total score of 12, while Malta, Sweden, and Austria also had a point of 12. Sweden and Austria received a negative point for still legally allowing conversion therapy. Canada scored neutral with legislation efforts to ban the practice ongoing. So, so basically what they're saying is Canada is number one.
Right.
For every country in the world currently for traveling and being there and, you know, whatever. Then again, don't go in the winter. It's fucking cold.
Right. So I feel like
some people like the cold. You can't say don't go in the winter.
Not me.
So I feel like this is something that Chris would really enjoy, and he would totally do one of these. And then he would say, Yavol!
Yavol.
So, but I want to go. I really, truly want to take a road trip and go to Canada and record a show up there. Like, I think... So we have to be very careful. So Canada is one of those countries where, for example, if you have a DWI in the U.S., you can't travel to Canada. You can't go if you have a record. So
a certain amount of years, though.
Right. So you just got to make sure that, you know, you're on point. Once you're in there, whatever happens, happens. And then you can get deported or whatever. But nonetheless, I think I would love to go and record an episode.
See, I'm a big foodie, and I follow a lot of guys that do food trucks and stuff in Canada. So, definitely want to go up there just because I want to try certain areas and certain foods.
I just think it's awesome. First and foremost, you're going into a different country, right? And you're dealing with culture and people that, you know, you're not used to. And so I'm all about eating.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. I mean,
whether it's food or ass.
Whether it's food or ass.
Do you want to hear something sad, though?
Well, tell me.
We were ranked 31st.
Oh, wait. Surprise. Hold on. Let me go back.
Thank you, Florida.
Because I can. I can do that. No, but I think overall, we know this. We've been doing the show for 5 years. It's been a long time, right? Yeah. March 7th was our 5-year anniversary. And we know where you can go, where you can't. And, Canada has always been one of those places that has always been everything friendly, right? Mm-hmm. They're immigrant friendly, LGBTQ friendly. And when it comes to a destination where you could go and really be yourself and be proud of who you are and also enjoy amazing cuisine and beautiful landscapes, Canada's definitely the place. So, I mean, for God's sakes, when Chris went up there, he used a fucking pizza box to get himself out of a situation and where it was snowing and he couldn't move his car. So he ordered Domino's out of open. Who the fuck goes to Canada and orders Domino's and then uses the cardboard box to get his car out? Didn't he have that little he had a sports car. It was like a 2-seater. I swear to God, I got in it. I felt like I was in a coffin. And he got stuck in the snow because it was a really bad snowstorm when they were going up to Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. Was it Nova Scotia?
I don't know.
It was, it's up the East Coast all the way past Maine, and he was up there, St. Andrews or something like that. I can't remember where it was. But nonetheless, the man was resourceful. He used a pizza box to get himself out of
a jam.
Mm-hmm. And he was up there with Toby.
And he was also in an SUV, so...
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He was in his car.
No.
He rented something?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like we need... Chris, you're going to need to come on and clarify this, because I feel like it was your sports car that was just, like, all over the road.
Yeah, no. I mean, it probably was, but he wasn't driving it. So where Canada scored a perfect 3 in anti-discrimination legislation, mm-hmm. the U.S. is stuck at a measly 1. Worse yet, the U.S. received several negative points for transgender rights, religious influence, and murders.
I'm not surprised.
No, I know, but it's crazy to me to think that we live here and literally our neighbor
to the north
is number 1.
To the north, to the north.
We make fun of them, but they're way smarter.
They make fun of us,
they
too.
They make fun of us.
Oh, they always make fun of us. Are you kidding me? Like, who are we kidding?
Yeah, they were like, hey, look at that guy. He's in charge.
Lord have mercy.
So basically, this is saying that we still have a lot of catching up to do.
Right.
Definitely. And then also going on to say that Chechnya, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia were found at the very bottom of the index. Chechnya last at 202, Saudi Arabia at 199, and Malaysia at 190. So there are a lot of countries that need to do a lot of work.
Here's the progress.
Seriously. So, for example, this poster right behind us here, it says, U.S. must help Chechen LGBTQs. VoicesForChechnya.com. You guys went to that rally. You and Chris, I wasn't able to go because I was working, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, the scorecard is correct. Seriously, it is. Yeah. Well, speaking of LGBTQ rights all around the world, we're going to go all the way to the amazing little Japanese island, to Japan. In a historic ruling, a Japanese court ruled it is unconstitutional for government to not allow same-sex couples to get married. On Wednesday, March 17th of this year, the Sapporo District Court ruled that Japanese public should have the right to get married. The groundbreaking ruling is a landmark victory for the country, as same-sex marriages are not legally recognized. As Article 24 of Japan's constitution defines marriage as a mutual consent of both sexes. The judge, I'm not going to do a Chris and attempt to actually say this judge's name because I think it's disrespectful if you can't do it correctly. So I'm not going to try. But the judge said in a historic ruling that preventing same-sex marriages violates Article 14 of the Japanese Constitution, which bans discrimination based on race, creed, sex, social status, or family origin. And I think that is fantastic. Obviously, landmark. And it is a landmark ruling, as we remember that not too long ago, we had one of the first Asian nations to actually declare marriage equality being legal. And it was historic back then. But I do have to note that according to the New York Times, the landmark ruling cracks doors open for same-sex marriages. But still, it is very, worrisome because although the court has found that it was unconstitutional for countries for the country to not recognize the union, it would require that Parliament make a pass of law before they would consider the matter settled. And so what the court said was basically, you know, we believe it is unconstitutional, but it'll require an act of Parliament before we can say whether or not, you know, same-sex couples can go and get married. And so while it is good news, it means that, you know, in Asian nations, things are moving in the right direction. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Yes.
Which is crazy. And for us, we've had same-sex marriage laws in-house since 2015, and we still struggle internally with how we are defined by people who don't agree.
Did you just fart, or was that your chair?
That was the chair.
That thing is making a lot of noise.
Yeah, it needs DW-40. A big girl sits on this chair.
Did you hear it?
She needs to lube it up.
I have
She's squeaking. Lube. She's squeaking.
So it's just, it is incredible.
It's an amazing. I'm actually reading some stuff on that as you're talking about it. And I know that part of it, I'm slouching. I'm so bad sometimes. Part of it was I was reading a part of that whole lawsuit, and one piece that stood out for me was on January 18th, Ikuo Sato, one of the plaintiffs in the Tokyo lawsuit, passed away from a brain hemorrhage. Right. He had said, "When I die, I want to hold the hand of my partner, who became my legal spouse, and say that I was happy." But his wish was not fulfilled. So, you know, we also have to keep in mind that there's a lot of people that are in the forefront of these fights,
right,
trying to get that acknowledgement. And unfortunately, we don't see, they don't get to see it come through. Mm-hmm. So just the acknowledgement and the fact that this judge has made that decision, then that ruling is a big step in the right direction.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that, for example, here in the U.S. in 2015, when we did have marriage equality pass, both plaintiffs in that case, when you think about Edith Windsor, mm-hmm, and when you think about Obergefell, Obergefell's husband was not alive when that ruling was passed. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Windsor. You know, when you think about her spouse, the reason why she challenged the lawsuit that was created or launched in the state of California was because they were trying to make her pay an estate tax for a person that she could not legally claim as her wife. Mm-hmm. And so that is the reason why, first of all, the DOMA was overturned. That is the reason why we currently have marriage equality, which coincidentally happened to be ruled upon by the Supreme Court on the 26th of June, 2015, the day before Pride was supposed to be celebrated in, mm-hmm, New York City, which, yes, was amazing. And so it's always the case that, you know, those brave souls who decide that they're going to go challenge their government and law and say, this is my spouse, and I'm going to reaffirm that my love for my spouse, and no matter what you say, he will always be, or she will always be, or they will always be my spouse. And you can't change that, even if your laws say otherwise. It takes a certain amount of spirit and bravery to do that. And although these individuals are no longer with us, their sacrifice, the fact that they died fighting for this, for us, for our ability to be able to reaffirm that we are humans and we have a right to love who we love, is, it's just incredible. It is incredible to see. So I hope, my hopes for Japan and for all of the Asian nations is that eventually you'll get to the point where you can say, you know, this is the man, the woman, they, them, who I love. And this is what I want to, this is who I want to spend my life with. And who are you to tell me otherwise? Mm-hmm. And deny me rights, deny me the right to collect a pension if that were the case, or lawfully be able to collect, you know, support services in any area. I just think it's just amazing. And little by little, we're moving the needle. And that is all we can do, right? Work towards that every day. As a community, we've been working for that for the past 5 or 6 decades, and we're making strides. And it's sad when you hear that, unfortunately, those that these brave souls, those that they were fighting for, are no longer with us. Nonetheless, their legacy, the hard work they put into it, is, it doesn't go unnoticed.
Yes.
And it's just absolutely amazing.
Yep.
So absolutely. Japan, do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And on that note, we'll move over to Brazil.
Brazil, what do you got from Brazil?
By the way.
Uh-huh.
So as I stated before we went on break, I was reading this article. It's actually an older article now that I look at the date. It's from 2019, September 2019. And the title read, "Dad Praised by LGBT Plus Community After Building a Bi Chair." So as I scroll down, he submitted a drawing to his, I think it was Insta account, and it says, and it's titled "Bi Chair, Designed for People Who Can't Sit Straight," which I love.
Can I have that chair? Because I might not be bi, but
she can't even sit crooked.
Literally, so, my legs are crossed like a princess
Yeah. So it was. I thought it was amazing. So a dad, he's from Brazil. He's a Brazilian artist called my Tazi, who shared a drawing of his bi chair on Instagram. So his daughter came out to him as bisexual.
And so he created a whole chair.
So the chair, which features an armrest, the different heights of space for people to fold their legs, is a playful reference.
It's just for you.
On an internet meme about bisexual people who contort themselves while sitting. The stereotype largely... Sorry.
I had no idea where that came from.
Just for me.
Just for you, yeah.
She's fucking pushing buttons over here. I'm like,
stereotype, they're not labeled anymore, so.
I'm going to have to put like a big window here.
You might. Plexiglass.
Seriously.
So it says, the chair, which features an armrest and different heights and a space for people to fold their legs, is a playful reference on the internet about bisexual people who contort themselves while sitting.
So Jay.
Yes.
You're a bisexual man. Do you contort yourself when you sit?
I never sit. Honestly, especially at home or when I'm at family's house, I will sit on the couch. But if we're hanging out and having a good time, I can never find a comfortable position. And I always end up on the floor.
Why?
It's just me. It's my comfort.
I don't know. That sounds
it's
about
weird,
right?
Right? It's
no.
Like, it's
on
I'm,
the floor.
I'm like, I never find the right position, and then eventually I start slouching down.
You need the fucking chair. You know, yeah. You needed the chair.
Yeah. The chair. That's
so I
what
think
it
that
is.
Chair is something I need to look into. But I think the whole thing is, as he stated, my daughter, who identifies as bisexual, as a bisexual gender fuck, her words, not mine, but thinks that her and the LGBT plus folks inability to sit normally is hilarious.
There it goes.
And there goes my beard. I moved this, I wouldn't
put on my rug, but that's okay.
We'll fix that.
We'll fix that later. I'll suck it up later.
So he says, so I asked Ma, which is why he calls his daughter, if I could make my own rough style of a bi chair, and she said yes. So behold, in all its glory, the bi chair. I see this as a great, great,
it's actually pretty cool.
It's
so,
a cool chair.
So it looks like a very weird version of the Adirondack chair, right?
It has like a
couple of levels. It looks like something I would have in my backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the fact that the dad actually, you know, one, he's an artist, so he's going to be creative with it, but two, acknowledging his daughter and trying to connect with her.
Right.
You know, she came out to him, and even though she came out as bisexual, and, you know, that's the main thing. A lot of people, you know, bisexuality is always thought of as a gateway. Mm-hmm. gateway into either becoming full-blown homosexual or
which legitimate. I've always had a problem with, because truly it really is a gateway, right?
Exactly. I mean, it was for me. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
But it's used as a gateway.
But it's used. And so while some people may have a path that they have to follow to go from point A to point B.
It was also like 1999, I think.
Right. But for a lot of bisexual people, really, that line isn't there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's almost like, for example, trying to explain they, them.
Yes.
In today's world, right?
Yes.
It's like there is no clear-cut way of saying, I do both. I love both. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I can straddle. I can be in a monogamous relationship with a female, but still be bisexual and make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Which is why I'm always curious. So, and the fact that you're sitting here, which is great, you can talk a little bit about that if you want to. You don't have to.
Wait, before we do that, I want to go back to what you were saying about genderfuck. Can you reread that part?
Sure, give me a second. So he reached out to her, and what it states is he asked her for her permission to construct the chair for real after his daughter, who identified as bisexual gender fuck.
Okay.
Found it amusing.
All right. So I want to explain gender fuck. We've talked about it on the show before.
Right. We have.
And there are a lot of new terms, and we're all talking about them all the time because we're all learning. So gender fuck, what does it actually mean? Please. So genderfuck seeks to subvert traditional gender binary by mixing or blending one's gender expression, identity, or presentation. For example, a transgender woman wearing a dress or having a beard may be considered genderfuck.
Right. So like Conchita Wurst, for example, who was a performer in the international community, who was gorgeous but had a beard, would be genderfuck.
Oh, what was his name? The Colombian guy from New York.
Don't know.
Oh my God. He was found dead.
Oh God.
Unfortunately. But he was known because he always had his beard and always had it colored in rainbows and
oh, you're talking about the guy that had the parrot. He always had the parrot in the gay parade.
He was Colombian.
Right. He always had, so he was a staple in the gay parade in New York City. And he would always come down in these elaborate, like, get ups to like different rainbow dresses. And he always had a parrot on him, a bird that always hung on his head. And for years, I remember seeing him and I would always get excited. Unfortunately, he did. He was found dead.
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened to his parrot. Because, you know, you do realize parrots like last like 50 plus years. So a parrot can live as long as, if not even longer than.
He literally had a real parrot on his head.
A real bird that would hang around his head and people. And he would walk down. He was struck down the entire parade every year.
Yes.
He was a staple.
Yes.
He was amazing. He was amazing. Oh my God. Now I know who you're
I forgot his name. I'm sorry.
Now I know who you're talking about. And it's just.
I saw the article. I mean, kind of a sour note, but again, you know, referring to genderfuck, I think that would kind of fall into that
category, maybe?
In a way. But he was from Queens.
So I remember that I would always take pictures of him.
Yes.
Oh my God, he looks
like a pirate.
Yeah, he was amazing. He was just absolutely gorgeous. And he would always have like all these like colored beards. The parrot was always on his head somewhere. Oh God, I hope I can find it because there it is. There's the parrot. He had an African gray parrot that was always on his head. And he was just absolutely amazing.
Oh my God, that poor parrot.
Yes.
That parrot, are you kidding me? That parrot was the headliner.
No, but now that parrot is just lost.
My point. And so a lot of parrots, you know, typically last 50 plus years. So if he loses his owner, I just wonder where he is.
Yeah, I think they used to call him Miss Colombia.
Miss Colombia.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll post a picture of this incredible individual. This human being was truly inspirational. He was very, very, very colorful. And every time I went to the New York City Gay Pride Parade, he was one of the people that I would look for.
Yeah.
Truly.
And his gay parrot.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that.
Or trans parrot. We don't know.
He could have been anything, but in reality, he was an African gray parrot. It works. Oh my God, I gotta save this photo so that we can add it to the post later. But I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's what I thought about when he mentioned beard. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well,
that was like first thing that kind of
it makes sense. Yeah, right. Yeah. Because
when I first heard the term genderfuck, I was like, what the hell is that? Right. And looking it up, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But, like, the term itself seems a little abrasive.
Yeah, right, it does. It sounds a little, for lack of better words, rapey.
Yeah, right. No, it's abrasive. Yeah, yeah.
I just think we talk about gender fluid, whatever, but gender fuck, it's like...
I mean, I get it in a way because it's like you're fucking with the norm, right? I'm a woman, but I have a beard.
Yeah. I think that's what it's meant to do. It's one of those shock words.
Yeah.
You know, you get some of those words that people kind of say and you're like, holy, what did you just say? You know? And that's when I read it, it was the same thing. I almost had the same reaction. I'm like, okay.
I know. I saw you read it. I'm like, oh, I gotta pull up the definition because we've talked about this before.
You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, being bold like this can lead to a lot of different issues, right? When you're walking through Manhattan dressed the way you are with a parrot on your head could lead to, you know, unwanted, unsolicited attacks from people who don't understand, don't know, don't want to understand, want to continuously be ignorant about the fact that you are gender fluid, that you appreciate the fact that you love everyone and that you have been such an icon for years in the parades. Mm-hmm. And which leads me to my next story. So we have an issue in Rome and where a couple were attacked, which then prompted calls for the government in Rome and in Italy to actually start calling for anti-LGBTQ or anti-homophobia laws to be passed to ensure that individuals who are subject to this kind of attack have recourses and means to be able to defend themselves and also to educate the public about, oh my God, I'm speaking cursive.
You're fine. So wait, what happened though?
So what ended up happening was, thank you. What happened was, oh my God, I'm using one of your news. One of your things. So basically what ended up happening is Jean-Pierre Moreno was punched and kicked by an aggressor. That's what they call it. And by the way, this is being reported by TheGuardian.com, which is a UK newspaper. So he was basically punched and kicked by an aggressor in the metro station in Rome after kissing his boyfriend who was hit in the eye. The incident was captured on video and shared by activist groups Gay News and GayNet Roma on Sunday night. Moreno told Gay News, while my boyfriend and I were kissing, we suddenly heard a man shout from the other platform, "What are you doing? Aren't you ashamed?" The man crossed the tracks to attack the couple, which to me is disturbing. Like, you're way on the other motherfucking side of the tracks. Like, why would you make it a point, if you were not filled with hate, to cross the tracks and attack this couple?
You know, it reminds me of, like, I've told the story on the show, but when I was in high school and I was on Main Street in my hometown and
every town has a Main Street.
Actually, it was Bank Street.
And she's walked
to Main Street.
Everything has a Bank Street too. So, and she's walked both of those streets. But anyway, go ahead.
But I was,
Bank with a K or a G?
Bang, no. bang, come bank, to the room.
Bank.
You know, you okay, never mind. Okay.
Did I get banged that night? Maybe. No, but I was walking down the street with a friend and this group of guys who I know were walking by us, they passed us, and then all of a sudden I hear them yelling behind us gay slurs and whatnot, and they were like, "Fucking catch this, bitch, you fucking fag," or something. They said something like that, and they threw a football at me. I was a football player. And I turned around, I caught the football, and my friend went fucking running after them. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. Let him go.
You should have threw the football
I've
back.
I've got the football. But not to take away from the story, because this is important.
No, it's so, you know, just think about it. This could be anywhere. This could be DC. Mm-hmm. We, like, for example, when we went down for the Pride March, right? Was that what it was? Equality March. We went down to DC and we did a show in Washington, DC.
And to this day, there were no mimosas. And I'm still kind of upset about it.
You were recovering from the big freaking craziness that happened the night before.
You're not wrong.
I mean, Chris walked blocks with no shirt on in Washington, D.C.
You're not wrong.
And, like, so my thing is, like, for example, Nick, myself, Chris, we went down to the Equality March. This was in 2017, I believe. Or no, 2017. It was while Donald... Oh, God. I fucking said his name. The previous administration was still in office, or they had just gone into office. The Women's March occurred first. The Equality March occurred after. And we went to D.C. We stayed at the Hyatt Regency on New Jersey Avenue. And we walked and walked and walked. We went to the Equality March. But the whole time, you know, Nick, myself, Chris, we were running around town and trying to make it to all the, you know, it places. And we ended up like at the Green Lantern.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
Yep.
But, you know, in the back of our heads, we were continuously thinking that there is a potential that we could be attacked just for who we are and how we're interacting with each other, mm-hmm. right? And hugging and kissing and kikiing and having a great time. This is exactly, you know, the type of thing that we need to really be talking about. These two individuals were most likely either going home, having a little moment, which is normal for humans, and they were attacked. And I think it's just freaking horrible. Like, I would die if something like this happened to me. Although I am very boisterous and crazy, and probably somebody will end up losing a nose at some point.
Bitch, you would have pushed that motherfucker right back on the tracks.
Seriously.
We know you.
No, and she would have broken her fist again, punching him in the face, yo, like know. She's done before.
Oh, I've done it.
But the reality is, like...
It's horrible.
Well, the sad reality is right. things don't change until there is a catalyst, right? Yes. And right. and as terrible as the story is, and as terrible as... it is that these two people were attacked. There is positive change coming. Hopefully positive change coming from it. And I would hope that this couple embraces that. Right. And I don't want to say become a martyr, but maybe become a face of a movement in Italy.
Right. And so one thing to keep in mind is just like any other modern government, there's always two fucking chambers to a fucking government. In our government, we have the Senate and we have the House. The House always passes something that's amazing and great and woohoo, let's go, Equality Act. And then there's the fucking Senate that's always there to sort of kind of be like, yeah, no, we're not ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. So in this particular story, one thing to know is the long-awaited bill that was submitted after this incident took place would make violence against LGBTQ people and disabled people, as well as misogyny, a hate crime. It was passed by Italy's lower house of parliament in November, despite months of protests from far-right Catholic groups, which means that one house has already passed it, and as we see... over and over and over again. It repeats itself like fucking... Oh, it's so frustrating. There's always that upper chamber that needs to be convinced that human rights are fucking human rights.
And you know what, period. Too? Like, when I think Rome...
Right.
I think a city of love.
Right.
Like, when I think Paris, I think city of love. When I think Rome, I think city of love.
See, I think getting pounded in a fucking dungeon somewhere by a gladiator, but okay.
City of getting Rome type of love.
When getting rimmed in Rome. No.
No, but I'm...
I want my hole to look like the Colosseum. Broken.
It just surprises me that, like, for... Okay, I'm just gonna shut up.
No, please go.
I mean, like, Rome is one of the oldest cities in the world, yes. Really.
Julius Caesar.
Yeah, and you think, like, and historically, we know about...
the bathhouses.
We know about...
I mean, New York had to get the idea from somewhere.
Yeah, but the point is, it's like, at this point, like, what the fuck?
My eyes twitching.
It is time. It is time to embrace all types of love.
Right.
In the city of love.
Right.
Well keep.
Well, I thought the city of love was Paris.
Like, that's why I said Paris and Rome.
Yeah. Oh, Paris and Rome.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Keep this in mind. There's been researchers that claim that Shakespeare was undeniably bisexual.
There's also claims that Shakespeare wasn't actually the one that wrote all his fucking...
supposedly.
Plays, yeah.
But so. There's been, yeah, there's actually an article that actually state that based on analysis a fresh analysis of William Shakespeare's sonnet has found evidence that he was in fact bisexual, researchers have claimed.
I mean, it makes sense though, like, right? Anybody writing tragedies and love stories the way he wrote them
must be gay.
Not must be gay, but must be able to see a spectrum of love,
right.
And a spectrum of hate, and a spectrum of tragedy.
Right. Like, and to think, right, so Shakespeare, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, existed or started publishing his plays around the time of Elizabeth I.
Yes. Oh God, I don't fucking know. Really?
Am I wrong?
I think so. say.
Anyway, Hans will actually correct me at some point. No, but I think I'm right. I think that William Shakespeare existed around the time of Elizabeth I. And if you think about all the things that were happening in England at that time.
The Elizabethan era, 1564 to 1616 is when he lived.
Yes. So am I right?
I don't know.
So Google Shakespeare and Queen Elizabeth I.
You're right. You are okay.
So when you think about what was happening, right, you have the reformation of the English church, if that's what it's called. You had Elizabeth Queen. She was the Virgin Queen. She never married. She was a Protestant. Her sister, right before her, who died, she was a Catholic, and she was trying to, like, she literally murdered thousands of people because England was Protestant, and she was a Catholic queen via her mother. What was her name? Catherine of Aragon, of Spain. But the thing is, to think about all that was happening, right? You had all these wars that were happening because of religion. And then you had all of these alleged romances between some of the, like, people in the court, the men especially, with each other. I don't know if you've ever watched the show The Tudors on...
It's been a minute, but yeah.
Oh, my God. It's not HBO. No, it's... Nice. It's not Max. It's,
I don't know. Just find the point.
Oh my God, she is nasty. Well, the point is that in that time,
COVID shot came with a side of bitch.
Oh yes, it did.
Honey, it wasn't the COVID shot.
Served to you with a side of bitch. No, the point is that in that time, there was proof that homosexuality existed. There was proof that it was practiced openly in certain circles, and especially those in higher upper class England
that could get away with that,
right?
Squires, they all have squires.
That's right.
You and the squires.
Even the king got you jerked off last for God's week. Sake.
Come on, that's what it was for.
Do you want your own squire? I want my own squire.
I was like,
dress me up, bitch. Call me a bitch. Beat me. All that good stuff. No, but the point I was trying to make is that around that time, given the turmoil that was happening from a religious perspective, there was a lot of activity that was recorded to have been homosexual in nature. And so I wouldn't doubt, because William Shakespeare was publishing at the time, that Elizabeth was alive and being queen, that he would, in a sense, have a direct knowledge or expose to people who were part of the community. Whether he was gay or not, I would not know. And I would not presume to know. So, Hans?
I mean, I'll give him a call, I guess.
Make sure that, you...
Well, correct
me if I'm wrong.
The William Shakespeare being that was an article I found in The Independent, that's out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And they report a lot of that stuff there. So I just thought it was a interesting article.
I love. I am completely fascinated by the British monarchy. I don't know why. Not the current monarchy. Previous. Like, when you think about the Tudor line, I'm obsessed.
With Meghan Markle.
I know. So, well, it looks like we got through everything that we needed to get through. Yeah. We talked about the stories that we had lined up. It's been great. It's been fabulous. But we do need to wrap this shit up because it's been way too long. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I'm going to toss it over to my amazing co-host, Trish. And I'm going to give her some love so that she can jump into Mama Kim's Minute.
All right, everybody, it's Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, this 16-year-old trans student just made history by testifying in favor of equality.
Yas.
Number two, Elliot Page knew he was a boy since he was 9. It took the pandemic for him to transition.
Proud of him.
Number three, Lindsey Graham threatened to talk until I fell over to stop LGBTQ civil rights bill from passing. Fuck her.
Choke, bitch.
Number four, Robina Esty, trans World War II pilot and noted activist, dies at 99.
So with that, I feel that we should give claps to her. One, 99 years old and an amazing trans activist. Hello. May you rest in peace, sweetheart. Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Do I have a thing?
No.
Can I use yours?
No.
Okay, fine. All right, well, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, when March 22nd, 1976, where in the great state of the Garden State, New Jersey, Superior Court ruling that transsexual people may marry based on their reassigned legal S? Really? Like, did we miss a letter? Sex? Maybe?
Marry a person of the opposite sex on the basis of
on the title, though. Okay, but anyway, never mind.
I think they couldn't fit it. So legal sex.
Yeah. All right, so in the case of MT versus JT, New Jersey Superior Court rules that transsexual persons may marry a person of the opposite sex on the basis of their gender identity after reassignment surgery is complete. And that is our On This Day in Gay History. Do I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's up to me. All right, well, ladies and gents, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review. I told you there was going to be a lot of cursive in this. On your favorite podcasting service, by subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Speaking of Patreon, I would like to welcome our newest Patreon, Chase. Thank you so much for supporting our show.
Thank you, Chase.
Do you still want to support us?
Keep on the lookout. So for those of you who subscribe and support the show at a specific tier, we're going to send you out a nice little screensaver with the Gay Talk logo for you. So,
sweet.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And I guess next week we welcome Who, What, Where? Don't know who, don't know what,
don't know where. Yet. Right.
J-Bear. I finally booked somebody for this week and that fell through. So God only knows what's going to happen next week. So thank you, J-Bear, for like being our consistent guest host. You're amazing. You might as well just come every week.
We'll make it happen.
All over his face.
Yeah. I mean,
he might need it.
He needs to moisturize.
I moisturize every day.
So but I'm going to sign off. These two are going to kill each other. I'll see you guys next week.
Bitch, I use Clinique. And I'm unemployed.
That speaks volumes.
It does.
I'm telling you. She's
you're too expensive for me. Mm-mm. Never mind that shit.
I froze that shit. Just like you do with me. You know what I mean?
I cannot.
So I guess I'll go on to say our show is available on our website.
Not yet. Not yet.
I went ahead.
We're almost there. Okay, We're almost there. So, and now. wait. I need to get my voice for this. And now, here is Nick with his weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep their buttholes on point. Yes, we're talking about the Future Method.
Don't forget, get your discount for the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off valid for one purchase or one subscription per butthole.
So, once again, that's Gay Talk 20. Make sure that you get your discount. Now, Mr. J.
So, I guess Bear, we put a rubber on it?
Do you have any in your pocket?
No, I don't carry.
You're married.
I've got my bag right here.
So, I guess now I can go ahead. And
yes,
our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com. Is that okay, Nick? Under audio podcast, it is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
Oh my God, Jay!
Yes, proud of
you. Nick announces you can find us on social media: Facebook GayTalk 2.0, Instagram GayTalk 2.0, Twitter at GayTalk 20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@GayTalk20.com. Tom,
don't
take
fuck
it
up.
Away.
All right. So if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. There you can click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of the web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, an individual host, or any of the myriad of topics that we cover every day. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. Simply call 334-GAY-TALK or 334-429-8255 if you need all of those digits. Don't forget that
you
Oh,
sorry. Keep going.
I will cut her.
Don't fuck it up, Nick.
I just did.
Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.